relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
Are you a social animal? What is it Plato said about us? We're political animals, right? But are you a social animal? I detest socializing. I don't know. I'm an only child. Give me a good book, good movie, or walking my dogs and I'm just fine. But you're in the swamp and sometimes you just got to get out there, press the flesh, build the brand, hang out with good people. That's the real reason. Hang out with good people. And this week it's been like triple header. I get to go to California to be with my buddies for our Salem Town Hall. 1,400 people, including Larry Elder, Dennis Prager, Charlie Kirk, the great one, Mark Levin. A great night was had by all. Check out the video. It's on YouTube, the whole 2 hours. You don't want to miss it. And then I come back to the stinking, fetid swamp, and some Warriors for Truth decide to decamp in D.C. So we have the Bradley Foundation Prize event, where some amazing people like Molly Hemingway were recognized. And it's just a little conservative conclave. It was fun. And then after that begins the Hillsdale Constitution Conference with this fabulous dinner. And I tell you guys, that audio that I've shared with you, I think President Larry Ahn gave one of the most important speeches I've ever heard. I mean, and I told him, one of the most important, because it was about courage. And then Mark Meadows followed it up, amazing speech. And somebody else who's part of that event is with us. And I snagged that target of opportunity. She is, of course, American Greatness's senior contributor, Julie Kelly. Follow her at Julie_Kelly2 on Twitter. Get her book, Disloyal Opposition. And she just yesterday gave a presentation in front of that august crowd. Julie Kelly, welcome to America First One-on-One.
Thank you, Seth, for having me. What an intro.
So yeah, I know. The invoice is in the mail. So what did you talk about yesterday? What was the topic of your panel? Just give us a little snippet.
So the subject that I've been covering for the last several months, as you know, we've talked about, is January 6th, how the left and the Biden regime and the media are weaponizing it against not just the people who were there that day, but everyone on the right, by extension, almost 75 million Trump voters. And so how that investigation is accelerating and how it is ensnared now over 600 Americans.
And there have been even more recent arrests, have
yes.
there not?
Every week there are new arrests. So the Justice Department continues this, what I call, terror crusade.
We could call it a jihad, couldn't we?
Probably.
It's a jihad sure. against MAGA.
Yes, it is. It is. I mean, this is what you see. So the panel discussion yesterday was vaccine mandates and then January 6th, and you could see the convergence.
Right,
of the
this
two.
Is the triangulation. Vaccine mandates, the hunt for the quote-unquote insurrectionists. This is about criminalizing conservatives, is it not?
It's criminalizing conservatives and criminalizing any dissent.
Yeah.
So that is really what they're doing. Now, the vaccine mandates, mask mandates, et cetera, are one thing. But what they're really doing with the January 6th investigation, prosecuting people for trespassing, adding felony charges, keeping now about 60 people behind bars, denied bail under pretrial detention orders sought by this.
Let's just stop here. Yeah. 60 people. Is any one of them charged with insurrection or revolution?
No.
So what are they charged with, Julie?
Mostly trespassing, civil disorder, conspiracy. A felony charge that's very common is obstruction of an official proceeding, which more than 200 people face that charge. It's never been applied to a political protest ever. It never was. It's a 2002 statute that was post-Enron that would stop people from interfering in congressional inquiries. It was never intended for people who walked in the Capitol when they were certifying the Electoral College. But this is the way that they are turning Trump supporters into convicted felons. Yeah. And they've had several pleas on that already. But again, 60
And the first one was what? 8 months in jail, correct?
That's right.
For interrupting an official proceeding.
Exactly right. Yes. And he was called a domestic terrorist in court.
Let's get straight into the weeds right now. Wasn't this person the first person who was convicted? Wasn't he told that he needs to read the right materials?
That was a different person. Or one of them. That was the woman who was charged with trespassing.
So unpack that. So what happened in that case? Because I thought it was a joke. I thought this was the Babylon Bee.
Right.
So somebody else charged with trespass or what have you. And then what does the court say to her?
So a lot of these people have public defenders or court-appointed attorneys out of D.C., which just imagine what their political viewpoints are.
Right. Guys, 94% of D.C. voted for Hillary Clinton. So imagine what a public defender a public defender in D.C. is like. Not a lot of MAGA voters there. Sorry.
Not at all. And so these people cannot afford criminal defense attorneys in D.C. because every case is handled in Washington, D.C. So you
need
to know.
And they're held in D.C. That these people are imprisoned in D.C.
Yes, so we can talk about the D.C. Gitmo that is legit. I mean, we really have a political prison for Trump supporters. So Anna Morgan Lloyd was a grandmother from Indiana. She traveled. She went inside the Capitol. She didn't break anything. She didn't vandalize. She brought no weapon. She was charged with four of the most common misdemeanors that are being charged in all of the Capitol breach cases. She was appointed a defense attorney, who I believe is also a professor, a radical left-winger, who gave not only Anna Morgan Lloyd but her other appointed clients a list of books and films that they need to read so they could recognize the racist roots of America, how we were built on genocide against American Indians. So this
came up in the court.
It did.
That she had to be processed through the equivalent of a re-education program like in North Korea.
Yes. Yes. And so the lawyer submitted the list. Anna Morgan Lloyd, of course, like a lot of people, have never been charged with any crime. This is their first, foray into our
criminal. So she wasn't like a serial murdering grandmother.
No, she was not. Okay. Maybe, yes. Okay. Those people, I'm sure, will get off the hook.
Right. Well, if they're BLM supporters who just happen to be swept in with a camera filming it, that's not actually a joke. The guy who killed the death of Ashley Babbitt was a BLM Antifa radical.
Yes, yes, John Sullivan. He is. Right. So gave Anna Morgan Lloyd this list. She read the list. She submitted basically an apology to the court saying that she recognized her white privilege. She talked about her son-in-law being a Holocaust denier. And this is what they're trying to do. So, of course,
what has her son-in-law got to do with her being convicted of trespassing?
I think these people, in her defense, are so desperate to try to get this past them. They had no idea that this was going to be happening. So, at the recommendation of her criminal defense attorney, who's appointed, says, okay, write this sort of apology to the court, explaining now you recognize things you didn't know about American history, all of your white privilege that, you now know that people have different circumstances. They've had different experiences than you have because of your race. This is actually what she presented to the court, federal judge here.
So she wasn't released on her own recognizance with her bail paid for by Kamala Harris.
No.
Like BLM.
Correct.
And Antifa.
Correct.
Okay, so what we're seeing is, without a question, the criminalization of those who politically disagree with the incumbent regime.
That's exactly right.
How many people are still in prison?
About 60 people total, and about more than three dozen here at D.C., the jail that's been set aside just for a Capitol breach January 6th.
And often in solitary, correct?
Yes, they were held in solitary 23 hours a day, 1 hour out for rec time. This lasted for months under the guise of COVID. But there were reports of abuse, both emotional and physical abuse by the prison guards there. And so they're now awakened at 3 or 4 in the morning for breakfast. I mean, they're just being punished by these prison guards in Washington, D.C. And these judges, federal judges, of Obama and Trump appointees, refuse to let these people out of jail, even as the Justice Department continues to delay discovery obligations. They still don't have a platform, Seb, that provides all of the video evidence that they're using in court. And we could talk about the 14,000 hours of surveillance video, but they have all the evidence. And they still have not turned over all of it for these defendants so they can build their case and try to defend themselves.
The 14,000 hours worth of CCTV footage from the Capitol, which is where?
Which is in the hands of the U.S. Capitol Police and the Justice Department. It is their property. The Justice Department has designated it highly sensitive government material, And the U.S. Capitol Police say they don't want it released because they would give the inner workings of the Capitol complex to more wannabe insurrectionists. And it cannot be FOIA'd, said, because the U.S. Capitol Police are part of the legislative branch, so they are immune from having to comply with any FOIA laws.
So no discovery, no exculpatory evidence available, and no legal method to access it.
No, correct. And you have a beltway judicial and legal system completely stacked against these people. What I'm hearing in open court, not just by prosecutors who are calling Americans domestic terrorists, but also judges who insist on referring to this as a riot, a deadly riot, more blood could have been shed. These are only in pretrial detention hearings. Right. These aren't even somebody who's been convicted or pleading guilty.
You've got to read her book, Disloyal Opposition. You've got to read her coverage. She is the cutting edge of factual coverage on what really happened on January the 6th. Follow her on Twitter, Julie_Kelly2, and bookmark and read every single day, AmericanGreatness.com. That's AmericanGreatness.com. Julie, let's stick with one more detail of this investigation that some may not be aware of. And I haven't rehearsed any of this with you. I mean, I read what you write, but we don't clear talking points with our guests. We never do. Right. Talk to us about how, and this is from friends. These are friends of mine. I mean, I was there on January the 6th. I was in the front row listening to the president. And then I had friends who were in the massive crowds, who knew people who walked to Congress to do what the president told them to do, which is to be peaceful and patriotic. And now I'm hearing stories of people who are living in Alaska, living in Ontario, Oregon, living thousands of miles away from D.C., who were in D.C. for the January 6th celebration, protest, whatever you want to call it, and who are having the FBI knock on their door, and who are being tracked down and interrogated or interviewed based upon the location of their cell phone on that day. Are people telling me fantasies when I hear these stories, Julie?
No. The FBI has collected, I believe what they call metadata from all of the cell tower. I don't know how this works, but they are getting all the information from the
location of private American citizens.
That's right.
Who are assembling freely in D.C.
Yes.
And then using it to track them down later.
Yes, and working with the cell phone providers to get that, to confirm the cell phone number that's picked up with the owner of the phone. So they're working collaboratively.
So the companies are giving away the information.
Oh, they absolutely are. Yes. And so so Google is for all of the cell providers. Facebook and Twitter are helping as well to access archived access information that was on deleted social media accounts. They're going back and getting, say, posts or Facebook messaging, turning those over to the feds so they can use that information. I have a really interesting case to talk about, Facebook memes that were used in a court document against somebody. And so they're all working collaboratively. So people who weren't inside the Capitol building did nothing wrong. People who were just in Washington.
Yeah.
I know this has happened to congressional staffers, too, because Jim Jordan confronted FBI Director Chris Wray about it. And he, of course, in his typical vague way, tap danced around it. But they are collecting all of that information.
Without warrants.
Correct. They don't need it, really. Because
the companies are handing over the data.
Exactly.
So talk to us about this Facebook case.
So there's a man named Robert Reeder. He also was charged with 4 misdemeanors. He pleaded guilty to parading, demonstrating, and picketing in the Capitol building. That is a common misdemeanor that has been charged against hundreds of people who were in the Capitol.
Well, like Planned Parenthood people,
Kavanaugh. Yeah, right. You know how they all were charged with misdemeanors.
Oh, yeah, and locked away in solitary for 9 months.
So the government wanted to force this man to stay in jail for 2 months for parading and picketing. What they got from his deleted Facebook account were memes that made fun of Nancy Pelosi, that made fun of Joe Biden, that hashtag stop the steal, etc. They used those Facebook posts as evidence as to why this man should go to jail for 2 months for parading.
So his exercise of his First Amendment rights to write parody, lampooning posts and images of public figures was used in evidence against him.
Yes. Imagine.
To incarcerate him.
Yes, exactly. It was in his sentencing memo from this Justice Department. Memes that were mean about Joe Biden, used as evidence by Joe Biden's Justice Department for why a man who committed four minor offenses allegedly that day should go to jail for 2 months. He's already been fired by FedEx. He was a truck driver for FedEx.
Right.
Already was fired as soon as he was charged. His family, friends, his teenage son, he said, have totally abandoned and alienated him. And now the government is going back to his Facebook account from November and December saying, well, see, he was in the Stop the Steal. He has Stop the Steal hashtag. He has, a mean meme about Nancy Pelosi. He has a mean mocking meme of Joe Biden.
So I have to comment here. As the child of those who suffered under Nazi occupation and then were persecuted, my father arrested and imprisoned and tortured by communists, this is what happens in a dictatorship. This is what happens in communist Hungary. People who made fun of a communist official were arrested. You spread the wrong joke at the factory and you disappear, is what happens in Stalinist Soviet Union, in Hitler's Third Reich, and we're seeing it happen here. People exercising their constitutional right to criticize public figures, having those statements used against them. It is truly chilling. Okay, concrete question. Yes, we have these asinine, awful, ideological public offenders. Is anybody stepping up to help these people? I know Marjorie Taylor Greene's on the show regularly, Matt Gaetz. Yeah. Is anybody standing up to fight for these Americans who may have committed a crime but who do not deserve political persecution, Julie?
Only a handful. And you just named really basically half of the group. So yeah. Matt Gaetz, Marjorie Taylor Greene, Louis Gohmert, Paul Gosar, Andy Biggs, Senator Ron Johnson has really been the only voice in the U.S. Senate.
No conservative organizations, no lawyers, associations.
No, no one wants to touch it. And these people are desperate, Seb, as you can imagine.
Yeah.
They have no criminal records. They had no idea. When the FBI showed up, a lot of them showed their phone, showed their information.
Instead of saying, talk to my lawyer.
Well,
G-man.
They thought they were helping the government find the bad guys, not realizing that the government views them, the Biden regime,
them
as the bad guys. And so there are a lot of veterans in this D.C. jail, at least 15.
Yes.
So when George Bush contemptibly compared January 6th protesters to al-Qaeda terrorists, and I talk to detainees or their parents, these are men, one man in particular, Robert Morse, who had three tours of duty in Afghanistan.
Wow.
Who now has been in this D.C. jail since June. An Army Ranger jumping out of parachutes in Afghanistan. And I heard from other family members who were, outraged. I got a big comment from Ashley Babbitt's mom. She was four tours of duty in Iraq and Afghanistan.
As an Air Force veteran.
And here is George Bush. She heeded the call in high school. She graduated from high school in 2003. Her mom had to sign a waiver when she was 17 so she could join the military. And here's her former commander-in-chief comparing her to a terrorist.
Yeah, I want to dedicate a whole segment of this discussion to Ashley Babbitt. We're going to dig up that quote also from September 11th, the anniversary, where despicably the man who was the commander-in-chief of many of these people
That's
who
right.
are imprisoned right now or who died or were maimed for this country as he was the commander-in-chief, calling them terrorists who are akin to the jihadists that actually executed the attack on September the 11th. Please do a favor, support the truth-teller extraordinaire who's also a great supporter of this show, Rudy Giuliani. He wants to get to the bottom of what happened last November. They want to cancel him, destroy him, strip him of his law licenses and send him to jail as well. Please go to RudyGiulianiFreedomFund.com today. Support the man who brought New York back from the brink after 9/11. That's RudyGiulianiFreedomFund.com. Julie, let's play the cut. We have a cut. I was there in the front row. This is January 6th and my former boss, President Trump.
We'll soon be marching over to the Capitol building. to peacefully and patriotically make your voices heard.
That is the unequivocal evidence. He said, I was there in the front row. We will march peacefully and patriotically over to Congress to make sure that Congress does its job. Here's the most important question of all. In all your research, what have you found in terms of evidence of individuals who were instigating violence, who were there to instigate violence, but not as Trump supporters?
I get that question a lot. I haven't been able to really identify, say, Antifa, who were there.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's a little bit harder to find. I've talked to people who are Antifa watchers and asked for help in identifying that, and it's been hard to find.
But let's talk about the man who filmed Ashley Babbitt's killing.
Yes, John Sullivan.
Who's he? Who's John Sullivan? What has he said in the past? So he's there in the thick of it. He's filming Ashley Babbitt shot by an officer, by a law enforcement officer. Who is this man?
John Sullivan is a BLM activist. He was arrested, I believe, in mid-2020 for his, activism related to BLM. He has a website. He also was in Washington, D.C. He was making threats against President Trump while he was here. So
he's on camera calling for violent revolution in America.
Yes. Correct.
That's out there. This is the guy
exactly.
Who's filming Ashley Babbitt.
Right.
So we know at least one guy was in there under false pretenses.
Exactly. He was. Well, he pretended he was there as a journalist.
Yes.
He did give some interesting interviews afterwards to say what happened with Ashley when he was there. Because, of course, he wasn't expecting that was going to happen. But he also has been charged. The government sought to the restitution to take back the $90,000 that he collected by selling his footage. So I believe he's back in jail. He was in jail for a while. I just recently tried to look up his charges, though. I couldn't find anything on Pacer, which is the original, which is, the platform where you go to. I find all the court documents on. And oddly, I can't find his documents there. So I'm not really sure what's happening with that case. But he was arrested, charged twice for various offenses.
Let's talk about what he filmed. Your reaction to the officer who finally was identified 7 months later, giving interviews on the mainstream media saying he saved multiple lives. And speaking of himself, the man that shot an unarmed Air Force veteran in the neck, killing her, saying that he was a courageous hero.
He was the courageous hero, and he is the victim. Because what he told Lester Holt, and his name is Lieutenant Michael Byrd.
Yes, Michael Byrd.
Michael Byrd is his name. So he got to come out, reveal his identity on his own terms. That never happens with any other police officer involved in a deadly shooting.
Right.
But the entire Washington, D.C., media establishment, Democrats, Republicans who knew exactly who this man was, they helped conceal his name
for months. It was like the name of Officer Byrd was the same as the nuclear launch codes.
Yes.
Everybody who had it kept absolutely quiet about who this man was.
It was like the Ukrainian whistleblower. We couldn't say his name either.
Yes. You mean Eric Charmella?
Exactly.
Okay.
Right. So nobody could say his name. Even though everyone knew exactly who it was, including Republican representatives who were there, who hugged him afterwards. So they covered up, and this would be Mark Wayne Mullins, Republican congressman
from
Oklahoma.
Give us more names. Who else?
I'm trying to think. He was Senator Ken Kramer of North Dakota.
Defended the man who shot Ashley Babbitt.
Mark Wayne Mullins talks about, and he was there, and he talks about hugging him afterwards. He defended what Lieutenant Byrd did. Senator Ken Kramer was confronted in a radio interview recently. This was before Lieutenant Michael Byrd. I'm not going to call him Lieutenant.
Michael Byrd.
Revealed his identity, and this caller confronted Ken Kramer and said, "We are entitled to know the name of this officer." And Ken Kramer, a Republican, said, "No, you don't. He was in the right. I am grateful for what he did by shooting Ashley Babbitt." So this is the kind of Republican, but they've all been silent about it. I mean, everyone knew his name. So at any rate, he got to come out, and he is the hero. He is the victim. He got all kinds of death threats. He also is the man who left a loaded firearm in a bathroom in the, I believe, the visitor center a few years ago.
Yeah.
Exactly. And he is he's seen in a photo before the shooting. He has his weapon drawn already, and it is aimed at about five other people who were in front of that door trying to blockade the door. He's a reckless man. They covered up his name. He obviously has been exonerated in any pretend investigation that U.S. Capitol Police and the Justice Department conducted. Yeah. And now he gets his job back, and he'll probably get some book deal. And he is viewed as a hero by millions of Americans, though.
Right.
No, and people who wanted him to shoot more people that day.
Derek Chauvin is, you know, a murderer, right, as he arrests and causes the death of a man who is a convicted felon five times over, who held a loaded gun to the belly of a pregnant woman. That guy goes to prison. That officer, this one, is a hero for shooting an unarmed woman. Okay, the book is Disloyal Opposition. You need to follow this lady, senior contributor to American Greatness, Julie Kelly, on Twitter. Let's talk about the big picture. This, as far as I am concerned, is about the criminalization of a political class, namely those that vote. And it's not about Donald Trump, my boss, or the former president. Right. It's about those who believe in America first, those who believe in America, those who don't want to sell out to China like General Milley clearly did. What are you seeing? Let me just ask your reaction. As somebody who, unlike me, was born in America, how concerned you are, and are you seeing any kind of organic or institutional response to this attempted criminalization?
I'm as terrified as you are, even though, yes, I was born and raised here, you know, generations back. But my grandparents fought in World War II. They left here to go to Europe to try to save the world. And they did that as young people. And I keep thinking of them this whole time. And I thought they did not do that so Joe Biden and the left could take down and destroy what they fought for and came back to build this country. So that's what I think about a lot. But there is such an institutional vacuum on the right. The conservative movement now has been completely exposed as an utter failure for the past three decades.
So you're talking about the organizations, think tanks.
That's right. The people really that I talk about in my book, Trumpers.
The Never Trumpers.
You're talking about the Bill Kristols and, you know, the National Review folks and all of those organizations that were supposed to protect conservative values and defend us.
Well, the Lincoln Project that are actually protecting pedophiles.
Exactly. Right. Yes.
Those Republicans.
Yeah. And so they created nothing. They have left such a huge void. So now we're on the ropes, really, in every institution, academia, corporate America, obviously the media. But now you have actual political prisoners. Now you actually have Americans who are being hunted down in their homes, people who have no means at all, people who are veterans, are ex-law enforcement, are small business owners, et cetera. And where do they turn? They have no political support. They have no monetary support. There's no legal fund, you know, with hundreds of lawyers lined up to defend these people for free or anybody to donate money. None of that exists. And so I guess, Seb, the only upside to all of this is that we now recognize on the America First side, Trump side, whatever you want to call it, that we need to move quickly to put those mechanisms in place because we're so flat-footed. But what the left is doing is accelerating their war against us. And now they're doing it unchecked. And this Capitol breach probe, this January 6th investigation, the special commission that Nancy Pelosi came, that's all putting all of the mechanisms in place to go after hundreds or thousands of Americans. And so that's what we need to organize.
Let's listen to perhaps the most appalling of recent examples of who these fake conservatives are. This is the man who was commander-in-chief when somebody dropped the ball and 3,000 Americans were killed. This is President Bush last weekend.
There is little cultural overlap between violent extremists abroad and violent extremists at home. But in their disdainful pluralism, in their disregard for human life, in their determination to defile national symbols, they are children of the same foul spirit. And it is our continuing duty to confront them.
So MAGA-hatted Trump supporters the product of the same foul spirit as jihadis who behead American citizens on camera. You know, let me run this past you. As a child of someone who, you know, of people who suffered under real totalitarian regimes for years, I get the left's going to be the left. I understand it. The Democrat Party has no room for JFKs or Scoop Jacksons and a bunch of, you know, radical crazies who want to take over the world, want the Green New Deal to ban your V8 engine and make sure you can't fly planes or eat cheeseburgers. I get it. But isn't the proximate enemy worse? Isn't it the, you know, the Lincoln Project Republicans protecting pedophiles like John Weaver? Isn't it the anti-Buckleyite National Review inheritors like, you know, Crystal and others? Isn't it George W. Bush? Aren't they the biggest obstacle to conservatism flourishing in America?
I agree with that, Seb. And I think the reason why is because you still have a lot of naive Republicans. Yeah. Who think that this really is not happening, who really think that, you know, get nostalgic when they hear George W. Bush talk that way. They're not understanding the message.
And they're making donations. And
sure, to his library. And but so that's really the danger, is that there are a lot of people who still think that that represents the Republican Party, that we're supposed to watch our manners, that we are supposed to condemn people who acted up on January 6th. We're supposed to just take a stolen election and we're supposed to shut up and just move on to the next thing. That's what they want. But I want to say two things about George Bush. He never made a public statement about the 13 U.S. service members who were killed at the end of August by real terrorists. He has no official statement on that.
Or BLM.
Oh, he has a statement on BLM.
Or David Dorn. He didn't say anything about David Dorn being killed.
No, but he does have a lengthy statement about BLM that was posted in June of 2020, commiserating with blacks, saying, yeah, well, you know, we don't really endorse destruction, but there was no difference between what he said and anyone on the left said.
Yeah.
So we shouldn't be surprised he just said that.
If you enjoy America First One-on-One, tell your friends, subscribe, give us a thumbs up, and also support those that make our podcasts possible, our shows possible, especially Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, the pillow that never gets hot, never loses shape. 43 million of them sold. They're that good. My whole team uses them. President Trump loves them. He's a conservative. They want to destroy him. They want to cancel him. Send a message to the fascists on the left. Go to MyPillow.com. Order whatever you want. Because you're listening to this show, Mike's going to give you up to 66% off if you use my name. Call 800-829-8468. That's 800-829-8468. MyPillow.com. Promo code GORKA. That's MyPillow.com. Promo code GORKA. The sad truth, Julie, is that people of your ilk, and I always tell people, check out American Greatness, love American Greatness. We had Chris on, the editor and founder, for an hour just a few days ago. People of your ilk, there's about maybe five of you. So people who do the research aren't afraid and publish the truth that the mainstream legacy lying media will never, ever, 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 ever publish, even if you put a gun to their head. They wouldn't do it. What makes you do what you do? Talk to our millions of listeners. Why do you do it, Julie?
Well, I don't know. I'm always surprised when people say thank you for your courage. And I think, well, I'm just reporting what's happening. I don't view it as anything but, you know, back to the old reporting days where you go through the court documents, where you actually talk to people who were involved, that you listen to the court hearings. I mean, that's basically what I've been doing. Although I will say, on January 6th, like I said about my grandparents, I thought about them and I thought they would be laughing at the thought that this is a huge battle, one of the darkest days in American history.
Worse than 9/11.
I mean, I remember watching it thinking, all right, well, there's some rabble rousers, but the overblown, and by 90% of the right, too. And we're talking about friends of ours who immediately jumped on the insurrection, condemning them. This is
not friends of mine.
Maybe not friends. Well, you're antisocial, though, you just said. So
yeah,
maybe
I don't have friends. I got two friends, and they didn't call it problematic.
And they're furry. They just, you would think after everything we've seen the past 5 years, from Russia collusion, the Covington hoax, the Kavanaugh thing, that people would pick up on what we're seeing is not real. This is not actually what's happening. And so I don't know. I guess that's sort of where I was from the beginning. And then just hearing these heartbreaking stories about what's happening to Americans.
Have you paid a price? Friendships, family relations, for what you've done in the last couple of years?
No.
She doesn't have friends either.
I do, but I pick my friends carefully.
Wisely.
I don't have friends on the left. Or family members, though.
She picks them very assiduously. She knows what she's doing. The book is Disloyal Opposition. Her Twitter account is Julie_Kelly2. I am Sebastian Gorka. This is America First One-on-One. Any message you have to those who maybe after your reporting or maybe after the Millie story are going, huh, maybe it's not the way they're telling me it is.
Right. I would ask them to check out my work. I mean, not to brag, but you could see the details of what's happening. Mark Milley, by the way, issued a statement January 13th on behalf of all the Joint Chiefs calling January 6th an insurrection. He's been in on this from the beginning, too. So people need to recognize this could end up being the biggest disinformation propaganda operation that the Democrats have put together ever, and it would way overblow even Russian collusion.
Wow. I think that's a good point to end on so we can leave you thirsty and hungry for more. I'm Sebastian Gorka. You've been listening to America First One-on-One. Keep your head on a swivel. Watch your six. Hold the line. Never give up. Never give in. And stay frosty.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.